Folks, can y'all hear me? All right, let's see. Okay, all right, so first off, good evening, everybody. Yes, you guys can hear me. Yes, my man Chuck is in there who just sent me a text. All right, so here's the deal. Definitely thank you, everybody, for joining. I know it's late for a lot of folks, but the reason why I want to do this, and I want to tell you very quickly why I want to do this, and then we'll get right into it, is that when I started or attempted to start matchmaking in 2008, I called everybody. I called different matchmakers, I called different relationship coaches, and basically nobody would return my call. Nobody would spend any time mentoring me. And all I wanted to do was have mentoring as it related to getting into the business. And it just really left a bad taste in my mouth. And so what I decided to do is I decided that I would give back. Now, I've always been involved with mentoring, but I thought in particular this opportunity is that, I've been in the business for the last couple of years. I've been, quasi successful in what I've been doing, especially in terms of brand building, the book publishing, the TV stuff, getting into media. And so I wanted to use this as an opportunity where I can help y'all do just that. So anyone that has any type of business, branding, business relationship, media, publishing, life general questions that you think I can help with, that's exactly what this opportunity is about. I'm not trying to sell anything to anybody tonight. The whole and I hope nobody on here is trying to sell anybody to anybody tonight. The whole idea is for us to help each other. That being said, there are only two ground rules, okay? Two ground rules. Ground rule number one is that I'm going to bring people on and I'm going to give them advice. So any questions that you have, none of this has been planned. We'll bring you on video and I'll give you, the best advice that I can. Everyone that's watching, there's a lot of great folks. I see my man Marshawn is on. I saw my man earlier, Chuck. I see Danae. I see there's a lot of Jay Smith. See a lot of great entrepreneurs that are just logging on. And so there's a lot of brain power that we have. So let's try to crowdsource that brain power. What I mean by that is whenever someone is up on the screen, I'll be giving my insight. And I want everyone else to be giving insight as well. Let's make sure that whoever has questions or questions tonight, that we give them a full amount of answer and support, right? So support means that if they're looking for help, let's give them help. If they need someone to review a book or they need someone to go to a blog post and read that, whatever it may be, let's help them. Let's use this as an opportunity to help each other. That's ground rule one, right? So whoever has a question, everyone, it's all about support. Second, oh, I see my man London on there, which is great. All right, so second is that any negativity y'all see pop up in this chat screen, let me know who it is, and they're getting the boot, okay? We don't have time for any of that. Tonight is about how we can evolve, how we can empower ourselves, all right? So that being said, everybody like that? That good? Follow each other? All right, oh, I see Jamaica in the house, which I love. All right, yeah, actually, and I will say this is that everybody, it's after 10, so this is what I do after after about 6, 7 o'clock. I don't have red stripe. I apologize to everybody in Jamaica. No red stripe tonight. It's just Heineken. All right, so that being said, let's get going. Whoever has a question, let's pop up. Let me know what the question is, maybe business question. Be sure that you've got video rolling because we're going to pull you onto video and let you guys pose your questions. So Amy Sue, yay to tea. I like that. Tea is all good. Tea is all good. Although I like a little fizz in my tea. Okay, so what else we got going? Who's got the first question? Who wants to step up? All right, darling Nikki.
Hello.
All right, I like it. Okay, darling Nikki. Hello. I know you're on
Yes,
Twitter,
I
aren't
am, as
you?
Nikki Darlin.
Uh-oh. Nikki darling, that's it. I remember it. How are you
I'm
this evening?
well. How are you doing this evening?
All right, I'm good. I'm really good. So how can everyone, there's 72 of us on right now, which is incredible at 10 o'clock. So how can everyone support you? What is your question?
How to get started with a mentoring program of mine, how to get started on my own. And I'm maybe looking at some grant work, maybe looking at some sociological experimental type work as to how I can mentor children of high school age, college age, to get them prepared for the workplace.
Okay, fair. So is the question is how this is your idea that you want to mentor young people as it relates to all those subject areas, and your question is how can you get
correct.
Started, correct? Okay, all right, I love it. So what's great about this opportunity is that you can get started right now. And what I mean by right now is that just by telling everyone, there's 77 people on live right now, there's going to be more people that are watching this. So just by people seeing this, that's going to be important. Now, in terms of getting started, I would say that there's three things that I suggest. One, just to give you a little bit of background, is that I had a nonprofit organization that I still have, but we're not active, but I had it for a number of years. And what we did is we provided academic test preparation to low-income households. So there was a lot of test prep, but there was also mentoring involved. How we got started is first off, is that you have to create an organizational structure for what you want to do, right? So you want to make sure that you have a board of directors. You want to make sure that you have, that you file for your nonprofit status. You want to make sure that you begin to build a team. And when I say begin to build a team, is that you want to identify all of the things that you're great at and include that within your responsibility, but also realize that we all suck at many things. And you want to add people to your team that can help to balance you out. Like, so for example, me, I'm terrible at management.
Right.
I think I'm pretty good
me
with
too.
Vision and stuff, but I'm terrible at management. So I have people on. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Are you you know what I was going to say is that are you a I'm not a big person in
I'm
signs.
Sagittarius.
Are you a Virgo? Oh, okay.
But I
Sagittarius.
Am an analyzer.
Well, Sagittarius sometimes.
I do cool analyze a lot of things. So I'm good at experimental type work, analyzing.
Got you. So, well, that's the first part, right, is that you want to create that structure. So board of directors, people on the team, and why is that important? That's really important because of point number two. Point number two is that you want to be focused on raising money. And I know that it's funny that we're talking about, mentorship, but already I started with structure and raising money. But the bottom line is that most nonprofit organizations I know, most businesses I know, and I'm sure that people have the stats on this, they fail quickly. They fail quickly, and it's because they don't have funding. They're not capitalized. And so you being a nonprofit organization, you still are a nonprofit business. You still are a business. And so number two is the importance of fundraising. Now, your board should be fundraising for you. You should have members of your team fundraising, but you should be the chief fundraising officer because it's your vision and people are going to be really buying and investing in you. So that's the number two thing that I would say is that make sure that you have a funding plan. And then last but not least is that you want to begin to pilot and beta test your programming. So whatever your service is, if it is a structured program for a high school or if it's a structured program for after school, whatever the program is, you want to design that for a small number of people, say a classroom of 10 to 12 students, and you want to pilot that. And the reason why that you want to pilot that is because that's actually what funders want, is funders don't necessarily want to fund an idea. They want to fund the growth of an idea. So you have to show that you have the structure, you have the idea, and then you just need the funding to grow the idea. So those are three things that I would say. Focus on structure, focus on fundraising, and then focus on a pilot program.
Thank you.
Okay. Awesome.
You
awesome.
Too.
All right. Great. You have a good night. And I tell you what, if you can, when we do this next month, because we're going to be doing Mentor Monday every month, when we do this next month, please report back. Let everybody know where you
thank
stand
you.
With regard to those three things. All right, cool. Okay.
Thank
all
you.
Right, cheers. Okay. Great. And I see some great comments in here in terms of other practical, London's giving practical advice or comments in terms of practical books of mentoring. Chief fundraising officer, good idea. Akila mentioned that. So I like the fact that folks are chiming in. So Darlene, Nikki, if I know you're still listening, take a look at the comments. It looks like there's a lot of really good comments in there. People like Amy Sue wishing you good luck. I love it. So let's see, we have, who do we have up next? I see we've got someone up next coming. All right, Angela Reed. Angela.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Angela, who's in the background? Who's on that poster?
It's a painting.
It's a painting. It looks like Prince. It looks like 1980s Prince.
No, it's not.
So how are you?
No, it's not Prince.
All right, it looks good. It looks good though. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How about yourself?
All right, I'm good. I'm good. What's the question? How can everybody help you tonight?
My question is, if I have an idea for a business that will have multiple umbrellas, meaning they have different companies existing under one main umbrella, is it best to focus on one at a time or to try to develop them all at the same time?
I have a thought on this, but can I ask you, can you give us a little bit more detail in terms of the multiple businesses or at least the categories for the multiple businesses?
Yes, one of them will be nonprofit, which is Writing for Healing, focuses on young people to use writing as a way to heal from social issues or past traumas.
Okay.
And the other will be in partnership with both a small press publishing and production.
Okay, so three categories of business. Okay,
yes.
All right. So everyone who is Jamaican right now that's watching this, do not get mad at me when I say this. But Angela, don't get Jamaican on me right now. You know what I mean? Don't have eight different jobs, right? Don't have eight different jobs and not be a master of one of those first. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs do this, right? Because, you know, bottom line is like, and here's my quick story is that, so my mother is from Jamaica and my grandfather, what I'll never forget, God rest his soul, he just passed away last year, is that he was in his 80s. And he literally had eight different jobs. And I'm not joking. My grandfather had eight jobs in his 80s before he passed away. And one thing that I saw is that because he had eight different jobs, he spread himself so thin that he was never able to truly master one. He was a great generalist, but he wasn't a specialist. And what I've noticed is that specialists in categories win. If you could think of one thing that you can be the best at, literally, you think of one thing that you could be the number one, two, or three person in the world doing, just do that. Just do that. Don't worry about all the other things because all the other things will come. And I think that this is a big issue that a lot of us entrepreneurs get in is that we have all these ideas, we're big, we're visionary, we want to do A, B, C, and D, we need things to balance out the revenue. But what we have to realize is that what people want is they want someone that is producing a product or service that is the best. And so my challenge to you is to think about those three categories and just pull out one thing and laser focus on that. Become the one, two, three best person that you can, right, in your category doing that. And then at that point, you move on to two, three, and four. But laser focus on just one thing. Being Jamaican is great, but when it comes to business, I don't want you to be Jamaican right now, okay? Fair?
All right, thank you.
Okay, all right, you have a blessed night.
You too.
Okay, all right, super, super. Okay, so we've got more people on. We got 82 people watching right now, which is great, at 10 o'clock. Real quick question before I bring the next person on is anyone who is drinking, who has a drink right now, let me see what drinks you're drinking right now. I just want to see if anybody else has got a Heineken going or if I'm the only Heineken drinker right now. Easy mind on the Jamaican. Okay, I'm going to be easy on that. All right, I'm going to get jumped after this, I think. All right, let's move on to next person. I think this is my girl Denise coming on next. All right, I see green tea, I see Coke Zero, Artasia Johnson, almond milk, Moni, Peach Amsterdam. Wow, I don't know what that is, man. Peach Amsterdam. All right, Smirnoff, oh man, J.A. with the Jolly Ranchers. Ha ha, I like it. Blue Moon refrigerator iced tea. I like that. Okay, all right, you guys got some nice drinks. All right, so let's see. Denise, we got Denise coming in. Denise, uh-oh. I know Denise, so this is gonna be. D, what's up? What is that? Are you laughing at me, D?
Yes, Paul. No, I'm laughing with you. I'm laughing with you, actually.
I like the background. You got what? You look like you got the same painting in the background. Y'all notice that?
I do.
Yo,
I have that one and I have the other one.
well, what painting is that? Y'all have the same. That's wild. You have the same painting
That's
as.
the man,
Okay.
and then that's the woman.
And that's what's the name of the painting?
I think it's Power of Love or Power of Man and Power of Woman.
Okay. That's a word up. I like that. I like that. Power of woman. Okay. All right. So D, what do we got? What's going on? Yeah, actually,
Before I
what the,
continue
so
to
someone
market.
said, I'm sorry, D, someone said what who's the who's the artist? Because this is like everybody wants to know who's the artist. You know who the artist is for the painting?
I will look up the artist and I will put it inside the Twitter chat.
Okay. All right, that's cool. That's cool.
Because I
Okay.
forgot the actual name, but I will look it up and send it into the Twitter chat
All right.
in a
All
few
right, cool.
minutes.
So, D, what do we have tonight? What's the
My
question?
question is, how do you continue to empower yourself to continue marketing your business in order to continue branding yourself, to get yourself out there and to gain clients? Like me, I do life skills
How do you?
consulting for youth and adults.
Okay. So when you say how can you, are you saying that there's a hurdle, there's hesitation? What's where do you feel your limitations?
When approaching different businesses for your product, because their first thing is, oh, how much do you charge?
I got you. I got you. So basically you're having a hard time marketing your business. And you want to figure out
Yeah.
what are some of, okay, all right, I got it. All right, so here's the deal.
Is
We
it?
all are marketers, right? And I always joke, I say that everyone who's an entrepreneur, actually, let me do this real quick. Everyone who's an entrepreneur that's watching this, say I. Let's just see how many I's run across. I think for the most part, we're a lot of, look at this, I, like we're all, I see triple I's in there, right? Oh, my man, Kevin's here, I love it. So a lot of us are entrepreneurs. As an entrepreneur, we have to think of ourselves as not just a CEO, but a CTO, right? A chief talking officer, a chief talking officer. And what I find to be fascinating, and I'll never forget this, is that I've had about five different businesses in my lifetime. And one of my businesses was during like the internet heyday. Remember the big bubble before it burst? There was a lot of money that was being funded. And I went out to a restaurant and I was having dinner with a funder. And he literally wrote an IOU. He wrote an IOU check for $100,000. It was my first investment in a company. And I was blown away. And he looked at me and he said, everything that you included in your business plan, everything that you're trying to market to me in terms of your products and your services, he says, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm investing in you. I'm investing in you, Paul. And ultimately, what I learned is that when you're betting, say when you're betting on on a horse race, you don't bet on the horse, you're betting on the jockey. And so when you think of us, right, as entrepreneurs and chief talking officers and marketing what we're doing, ultimately we have to be the brand. We have to walk our talk. We have to be very transparent in who we are. And we need to have a story. And that's actually my biggest part of advice I would give you is what, Denise, like, what is your story? Everyone needs to have a story. You know, if you go to my page, paulcbrunson.com, you look at my bio is written. That is my story. That's the story by itself. If I'm going to do a presentation, if I'm in dinner tomorrow, I've got lunch with someone that I'm trying to impress, right? I'm going to pull out my story. I'm going to talk about my story. Storytell, that's the most important thing that we can do. And so long story short, find your story, find what it is, make sure it's as authentic as possible, and tell it and tell it and tell it. So that's really the key, I believe, in terms of getting over the hurdles around marketing.
Okay.
All right. D.
Yes.
You're good?
I'm good.
You're good?
Just trying to figure it all out.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, you're in the right spot. A lot of people right now are talking about, different. I see people are throwing out more advice. If anybody else has more advice for Denise, let her hear it right now. This is supposed to be a community for us all to support each other. So Dee, thanks a lot. I'll see you in NYC. I'm coming actually this Wednesday, so I'll be in New York all week.
Are you for events?
Yeah, you know what? I'm coming to New York for, there's a couple TV things that I'm doing. Everybody check out Rachel Ray on Friday. I'll be on there. But the big thing is the Matchmaker Conference that's coming up. I'll be there on Friday and Saturday.
Okay. So we try to catch
right,
up.
Cool.
Thank
all right.
you.
Well, you take care. I will see you. Thanks for coming in tonight. All right.
Okay.
So really good questions, everybody. We've got about 30 minutes left, which is good. I see a lot of support in terms of the chat, which I really like, the support. I see some questions going on right now. Like I just saw someone hit me and say, Paul, how do you come up with your story? Let me answer that real quick and then we'll get to the next question. In terms of how I came up with my story, LD. Paul, how did you put your story together? So here's the thing, is first off, when this is really funny, is that I remember about 5 years ago, I was trying to come up with a story. And I was like, man, what would be the cool story that I could tell? And quite honestly, y'all, 5 years ago, I didn't have a story. I just didn't have a story. And what I learned between the 5 years and now is that in order to have a story, you need to have experiences. You need to have real experiences. You need to have gone through the trials and you need to have the tribulations. And ultimately, if you can testify to how you got through the fire, that's the most powerful story that you can have. So think about that. How can you testify that you got through the fire? The only way to do that is step to the fire. And what I mean by that is fail fast to succeed faster, is go out and try new things, do things differently. Push yourself, do things that you thought would be absolutely impossible to do. And if you fail, well, you could be a guide and you could talk about your failure and what you learned from it. And then if you don't fail, well, then you could become a leader and be able to speak to that. So ultimately you want to do things that are tough, and that's how you put together a story. All right, so who do we have next? Oh, this is my girl who I recently met. I did an interview for her blog. We're doing another interview coming up in a little bit. I'm ready for you, I feel bad about this because I don't know if it's Desiree or Desiree, but I'm about to get corrected right now.
Desiree,
what's up? It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm sorry.
Well, first, can I say, that looks like a brand new house, Desiree. Did you just move into that house? And look at that. It's nice and clean.
No, it's clean. It's not a brand new house, though. It's my office.
All right, cool. Like it.
But my question has to do with mentors. I've been approached by an individual that I do not know, and they want to mentor me, and I don't really know how to feel about that, because again, they approach me totally out of the blue, don't know anything about them. They actually hit me up on Facebook and they asked me to make an appointment with them, and I didn't really know what to expect. But when I got on the call, it turned out to be like a coaching session.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, I don't really know how to deal with this. It's kind of awkward, and I don't click with the person.
Gotcha.
So I'm just like, I don't know how to do that, how to deal with that.
Is it a guy?
It's a guy. It's an older man. He's married. Nothing like that.
He's trying to get with you. I'm telling you. That's what it is. He's trying to get with you. Fellas, keep it real with me on the tell me, am I lying or not? I'm telling you, that's exactly what he's trying to do. So here's
now I have had those where I could call them, but this one I just I don't get that vibe from him.
I love this. You know what, my man Nigel just wrote, Desiree, you could be his mentor any day. So here's the thing. Okay, so let's keep it real. Let's bring it back. All right. So someone hits you out the blue wanting to be your mentor. I think that sounds way crazy, weird. They definitely have an agenda. If anybody disagrees with me, let me know. But I think that's like, yeah, Wayne was like, that's creepy. Yeah, that is creepy. Here's the deal in terms of, at least my opinion in terms of mentorship, is that you want to seek your mentor, right? It's ideally you as the mentee, you want to seek your mentor. Now, who do you want as a mentor? First and most important is you want to have someone that matches your values. You see, your values are your guiding principles. That's your rule book to life. And so you want to make sure that your mentor walks their life with the same rules. That's number one. Secondly, in terms of a mentor, and there's three things for the mentors. Secondly, in terms of a mentor, is you want to make sure that your mentor walks their talk. That's very important, right? If they're not walking their talk, then it's kind of iffy in terms of mentorship, right? And that's the same way I feel in terms of, you know, expert advisors, right? Are they walking their talk? And then last and definitely not least, and this is an issue that I come up with a lot of my mentees, is that you want your mentor to be accessible, right? It's all good if Barack Obama signs up and says, Desiree, I'm good, I could be your mentor. But come on, how often are you gonna see Barack? Like, how often are you gonna see that man? He's busy. And so the whole idea is you wanna make sure that your mentor is accessible, that you have an opportunity to reach out and talk to them on a periodic basis. If you can get all three of those, right? Values, someone who matches those, someone who walks their talk, someone who is accessible, that is a really good mentor.
Okay.
All right. And if
Thank you. And now I know the man is speaking.
Well, I was gonna say, if all else fails, Nigel Scott, look at this. He's online right now. Nigel Scott, he will mentor you. I have a feeling he will be a mentor.
I think I'll stick with you.
I'm saying he's a good guy. He's a good guy. You're really smart. Really smart, okay. Brother too. All right. So thank you very much, Desiree. Desiree, everybody catch it. Desiree and I are going to be doing a big interview coming up in August. What's your blog, Desiree?
Yes.
What is your blog?
Well, that particular blog is captivenomore.wordpress.com.
Okay.
Or they can go to my personal website. I'll put it in the notes.
Okay. All right. Cool.
In the chat room.
Cool. All right. Thank you very much, Desiree. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. All right. So here's the thing. Even though we're having a good time, we're talking about mentorship. You know, I got to get some matchmaking going on. So Desiree, Nigel, everybody, let's root for that. Let's see if we can make that happen. We'll have a first Mentor Monday baby, or first marriage. Then we'll have a Mentor Monday baby. It'll be great. It'll be really cool. Y'all know it'd be cool. All right. So let's go next. Oh, wow. Darling Nikki doesn't play around. She is back in the queue already. All right. We've got more people. We've got 85 people here viewing right now, which is really dope. So it's 10:30. So actually now we've got 30 more minutes. Make sure that two things just to like recap real quick is that A, make sure that when someone comes on, they're posing a question, that you guys provide as much support as possible in the chat forum. And then secondly, if you see any bit of negativity, which we don't, it's all good. So let's keep moving. Let's see, we've got Darling Nikki back for part two. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We've got Dawn Stewart. Let's see, Dawn is coming up right now. Or maybe she's coming. Let's see who's coming up next. All right. Chuck says, Paul, can I post your interviews as a deeper reference? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I'm going to tell you what. Already, I love the hair. I love the hair already. I love it. Okay. So you have to help me with the name. How do you pronounce your name?
So it's actually Danielle, but it's my Twitter log. So it's Laudragazza SS, which is the girl from San Francisco.
All right. Got you.
Danielle. In Italian.
Danielle, the girl from San Francisco in Italian. That's really dope. I like that. All right. So what do we have? Danielle, what do we have, Danielle? What's the big question tonight?
So my question is just kind of a follow-up question, since I'm not an entrepreneur at the time, but eventually maybe I want to be.
Okay.
But like, if you're looking for a mentor, how do you know that their values match yours?
Okay, really good question. Let me spin that back on you. Let's say that it's not even a mentor. Let's say that it's somebody, because we've got a lot of people. If you are single, if you're one of these 85 viewers right now, if you are single and you'd love to be in a relationship, all right, we got a lot of eyes. Look at the eyes. Okay, then you got a lot of eyes. Oh, look, we got all single people. Where are the married people at? Look, it's all eyes. Okay, so here's the deal. This is a really good question, because it applies to not just a mentor. It applies also to someone who could be of a romantic interest. It also applies to someone who could be of a platonic interest. How can you identify someone's values? Danielle, the girl from San Francisco in Italian, tell us, how do you think you can identify someone's values? You tell me.
Stalking? I'm not really sure yet.
Stalking works. LD is like, hook us up, Paul. All right, I got you, LD. LD, I got you. How could you see someone?
I mean, by talking to them and, you know, building a relationship, eventually, I'm assuming you'd be able to figure out asking questions. But how do you do that without seeming stalkerish?
So Latasha said, Paul, I saw you at the Westchester at Bloomingdale, so I can answer that. So here's what she would say. Here's what she would say. How you identify someone's values is only one way. You observe their actions. That's it.
Okay.
Actions, everyone likes to talk, give lip service game to what their values are. Oh yeah, I'm spiritual. Yeah, I go to Bible study every Wednesday. Yeah, I'm up in church with my Heineken. Like, yo, like everyone talks about how spiritual they are. But ultimately, you can never determine spirituality until you actually see that play out over time. You can't determine a family as a value until you see that play out over time. So you have to observe. Now, here's the challenge. When you observe, it takes time. And this is where I think that we get caught up in this whole microwave society. We want everything now, 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 now. We've got to chill when it comes to things that are most important to us, like relationships, business, platonic, and romantic. We have to think that we have to see a match in values, and we have to see it. We have to witness it over time. And so observations over time is the only way we can determine values.
Sounds good.
All right. I love it. Amy Sue is like, LOL, Heineken in the church. Amy Sue, I know you've been drinking in the church before. I know it. Look at, all right. What do you have? What do you have, Dan? What's in the cup?
Wine.
What kind of wine
is it? It's hot out here. It's like 75 degrees.
Oh.
It is a rosé from Unti.
Wow, look at that Italian wine. Have you lived in Italy?
I have.
Okay, do you speak Italian?
I speak Italian.
Wow. Okay, real quick, because I know all the guys are going to say this is really sexy. say something about this Spreecast in Italian. Just say something.
Sono molto contenta che sono qui con te. Sei molto carina, ma non posso dire.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking
about. I won't tell you what I said.
No, I loved it. It was great. It was great. Fellas, let me know if that was great. Look at that. Wee-wee. Someone said wee-wee? Okay. Oh, no. Okay. All right, cool. All right, well, thank you very much. Great question. Enjoy your night. Stay warm out there.
I shall. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Good
Bye.
Night. Good night. Okay. Yeah. Someone was like, that's impressive. Someone said that's impressive. Oh yeah. Oh no. Bree said that was Bree. What's up, Bree? Bree. Great. Remember Bree from Twitter and from the call-in show we did with, I think it was Hanif. Good to see you. Yeah. Great question, by the way. So we have even more people. We're up to 87 people. We're actually building people over time, which is great. We've got Chelsea Lee, all right, Chelsea, I like it. Chelsea's like got the sexy lighting. She's real cool, laid back in the house. Who's on the wall? You have to tell us who is on the wall behind you. Uh-oh, I can't hear you. Sound like MC Hammer. Uh-oh. She said what? 1 second, okay. All right, she's coming. Chuck is like, I'm following a bunch of people on Twitter from the Spreecast. Yeah, this is a really good group. Everybody, we're building more people. We got 88 people. Everybody, this is a really good group. Okay, Chelsea, are you there? Oh, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Oh, I can see the frustration on her face. I can't hear you. Okay, how about this? How about this? My man Chris, which I want to shout out Chris from Spreecast right now because he's helping with the night. When I said, I told everybody, and Chelsea, I'm giving you some time right now. I'm buying you some time. This is a little story to buy you some time. Is that when I said I wanted to do a chat, I didn't know what platform. And basically, my man Tori McGraw from Grind and Thrive on Twitter was like, Paul, you should use Spreecast. Immediately, I said, what is Spreecast? And then the guys from Spreecast literally tweeted me within like 3 seconds and said, Paul, if you're doing something, we're there to support you. And then boom, look at this. So Chris, shout out to Chris, really good folks. Yeah, really good folks. So Chelsea, that was my buying time story. Are you there yet? Oh, I could almost read lips. I tell you what, how about this? We're gonna take somebody else and then try to work it out and then we'll come back and we'll get you. Okay, all right, cool. Okay, all right. So let's see, somebody said, this is my first Spreecast. Okay, here's my next question. If you are a Spreecast virgin, if this is your first Spreecast, say I. Let me see how many I's. Look at that. Chris, look at that. Look how many folks are new to Spreecast. Look at that. Carson's like, look, I'm a Spreecast virgin. And no I is like, I'm a Spreecast virgin. Okay, I love it. All right, so never heard of it before. LD, never heard of it before. Well, now you know. Now you know. Okay. So let's see, we're gonna go next to, let's see who's up next. Coming up next, Dawn. Dawn, we can see Dawn's glasses right now. We could just see Dawn's glasses. Uh-oh, Dawn, the connection. I think the connection, we got a slow connection. Uh-oh. Dawn, are you in a dial-up account? All right, Dawn's coming back. Okay, Dawn's coming back. She's coming back. All right, let's see if we can get someone up next. Well, we got Dawn coming back. Let's see who we got. Oh, we got a fella. We got a fella, Jay Smith. What's good, man?
What's going on, Paul?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Trying to make it, man.
Hey, man, you look good.
Pretty good.
You look good. Everything looks good. Everybody, check this out. Jay, that's your bed in the background, right?
That is my bed.
Everybody, look at Jay's bed. It is made up, nice and neat. Y'all see Jay's bed in the background? That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I love it. That's what I love. Appreciate I love, bro. All right, man. I'm sorry. What's going on?
All right, got a question for
you. Okay.
Okay. How did you decide your specific route that you would take with all the talents that you do have? What was your process in narrowing it down and saying, hey, I'm gonna start with A first and then later on spread to like things you're doing now, such as business consulting and things of that nature? What process did you use to narrow that down? Because I'm really having an issue with that because I do a whole lot of things and I'm pretty good at all of them, but I don't want to be a jack of all trades.
Okay, I hear that.
The rest of my life.
I hear that. This is a really, really, really good question, Jay, because this is like a follow-up to the question that we had a little bit earlier in terms of like specialist versus generalist. So I love this question. This is really like, because let's keep it real. Everyone that's on right now, we got over 80 people on. It's almost 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Everybody that's on is focused about their career, right? They're probably good at what they do, really good at what they do, and probably good at multiple things. And so ideally, your question today is like, so how do you decide what you're best at? A couple of things I'd say. One is that if you do not know who Dennis Kimbrough is, I suggest that everybody research Dennis Kimbrough. He's got some of the best content, some of the best books. He wrote a book with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. He just actually put out a book in February. Someone's Yolanda English, like, I love Dennis Kimbrough. Dennis Kimbrough, just put him into YouTube and listen to some of his stuff. He has some of the best content around how do you identify what you're best at. Ideally, how do you identify your passion? Because ultimately, we all are not just good, we all are great at something, right? So how do we identify it? Dennis Kimbrough, that's my kind of long-term solution there. In terms of exactly tonight and how I went about doing it, is it really is about a couple things. A, it's about what do you do? What are you inclined to do naturally? So a lot of people call that like, what would you do if you could just do it and not be paid? So what do you do just naturally? Like, Jay, what are you smooth at? You know, what can you do? What can you do better than your peers? And you know that everybody on this call knows some of the things that they can do better than their peers. That's one question. Secondly is, what do you like doing, right? Because there's some things that we're really good at. Like I'm pretty good at finance, right? I went to business school, but ultimately I don't like finance, right? I just don't like it. And so then the next question becomes, well, what do you like doing? What do you enjoy doing? What are the things that you think about on Saturday and Sunday when you could be off? What are those things? What are the things that you like doing? And then the third thing is actually, this is interesting, is this is when you look at what your peers, right, are telling you that they believe that you're good at. And the reason why I think this is important is because we all have a point of view, but we have what's called, the world has a point of view of who we are. And sometimes those don't match up, other times they do. And so basically sometimes other people can actually identify gifts and talents that we can't often identify within ourselves. And so those are the three kind of basic steps. But then Jay, here's the biggest step, and this is the toughest step. And I'm gonna tell you a little bit about my step, is that I had identified all those things, right? I knew what I liked doing, I knew what I was good at, I knew what my peers were telling me, and it was going to be matchmaking. And in 2008, me talking about being a matchmaker, folks were like, you could be a matchmaker? Like, how crazy, how cornball, how stupid. You're not gonna make any money, you're not gonna do. And long story short, the toughest step in identifying what your passion is not necessarily knowing what it is, it's stepping out on faith to do it. There you go, that's right. That is the hardest part, right? Is knowing it and then saying, you know what? I'm gonna step out on faith and I'm just gonna do it. That's the hardest part. But here's the beauty, is that when you know what you're good at, when your peers know what you're good at, when you know what you like doing and you step out on faith, you will be rewarded exponentially. I promise that. I'm testimony to that. As Dennis Kimbrough would say, the market will seek you out. The market will seek you out, right? So that's what I did in my life. The hardest part was stepping out on faith and doing something that I knew no one else was doing. But Jay, I promise you, when you step out on faith, you do not fall.
Appreciate that, Paul.
All right. Jay,
thanks everybody for everything y'all was saying.
Amen. Jay, I want to say real quick, Jay, are you single?
I'm not actually.
Oh man, I was going to say, because I'm telling you, this, a made up bed is a good sign. That's a really good sign. So that's why you're taking, man. But all right, man, best of luck to you. Thank you very much for coming on tonight, man. God bless you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. All right, man.
Take care. All right, folks, really good question, Jay. All right, we got Cheryl's like, too bad, Jay's taken. Jay, write that name down, Cheryl Porter. She just said, too bad. If things don't work out, Jay, Cheryl Porter, check her out. All right, so we've got, all right, Dawn is like, I'm back. Okay, so we've got, let's see, Chris is gonna get somebody else on. Y'all, we only have about 10 more minutes, so we'll try to get as many as possible in. Let's see, we got someone coming. London Maxwell is like, I hate making my bed. I do everything else, but I hate making my bed. London, I hate making my bed too. I do. All right. Wow. Are you in your office right now?
Me?
Yes.
Yes, this is my office / workout room / a number of things.
Okay, all right, I love it. She's doing it all in a room. Do you sleep in there too, sometimes?
No, I sleep in my bedroom.
I have a question. One thing you spoke on, talking about being good at finance, and the question I have is about deviating from your the trade that you've been educated in. I'm an attorney by trade, but I have more artistic talent that I feel like I have suppressed because I always followed what I thought I was supposed to do to earn a living, and now I'm kind of miserable in that living. And I know you said that you left finance. So I want, and can you come to Nashville and do a matchmaking event, because we need you here.
So yes, I actually really want to go to Nashville. I really do. The single woman, that Twitter handle, single woman, I've connected with her. I know she's from Nashville.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we talked about doing something. Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we'll be there. But in terms of your question around being trained as an attorney, but having, you know, this artistic ability and wanting to do something different, you do something different. And you do something different now, right now. You know, Steve Jobs, commencement speech, Stanford. You watch that?
Yes, several times.
Everyone who's watching this right now, if you have not watched Steve Jobs' Stanford commencement speech, do that immediately after this, because that's your answer. Because if you think about it, is that, you know, Steve Jobs was talking about how he loved type and font, and how he went and he studied that, and how he left school and was studying font. And it turns out years later that that was the basis for them developing Apple, you know, Apple, or in terms of the graphics. And long story short, his point was that the dots always connect. So everything that you do in life, every experience that you have, everything that you learn will culminate at the right time, right? At the right time, and you'll be able to leverage that to do amazing things. And so you going to law school, you practicing law, was not a waste. Right? It's not a waste. There are many people that I'm sure that you met. I'm sure that there's skills that you acquired that you'll be able to apply later in life. But the point of the matter is that right now, your gut is telling you. I mean, think about this. You logged on to a call at this time at night to say, you know what? I really feel like I need to move on and do something differently. Right? That means you have to do something differently. You have to. And so here's the biggest challenge. I'm going to make the biggest challenge to you. Is your name Costin? Is it Costin?
Yes.
Costin. Yes. Okay. Everyone document this. We're going to watch Costin on this. Are you right now employed as an attorney?
I am.
Okay. All right. This is really big. Everybody listen. Write this down right now, everybody. Check this out. Costin, what will it take for you to leave your position as an attorney and pursue your dreams in the artistic field? What will it take?
I have some ideas that I'm working on now, just trying to get them developed. And if I can see those actually take hold and be embraced and be supported and become marketable, that is something that I would like to do. But in the meantime, I know that I will stay in my day job until that my business takes off.
Okay. So this is interesting. So you're going to and I'm not trying to force you to quit, but you just said you're going to stay in your day job until the other takes off, right? So this is how that translates to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to commit my full time, because I'm sure you work more than 40 hours a week as an attorney. Right?
Actually, I don't, because I work in the public sector.
Okay. So what is it, about 30 hours a week? 25, 30 hours?
No, I work probably closer to right at 40.
Okay, so you work 40 hours a week. So you're telling me that you're going to work 40 hours a week in one job, and then you're going to take the balance of your time and you're going to allocate it to the business that you want to do in your off hours, when you get home late at night, on the weekends. You're going to take that time, the off time, and you're going to allocate that to what you want to do, and you're not going to leave to do that full time until it takes off. That's what you just told me, right?
But realistically, I know that I can't just up and quit because I do have debt. I own my own home. I am a single woman. And I have savings, but not to the extent to where I can abandon my day job and, you know, live out my dream. I wish I could.
See.
But that financially, that's not.
Right. I hear you.
Financially, that's not a reality.
I love everything that we're talking about, y'all. I love this. I think this might be one of our big last questions because listen to what Carson just said. She just gave really excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse why she can't go on and pursue this other thing because she's trapped. Basically, you're telling me you're trapped. You got all these debts. You got all this other stuff going on. And as a result of that, you can't pursue your dream. This is my point. My point is that if your plan is to take your leftover time and commit that to a new business, and you want to see that new business succeed, it'll never. You're telling me that you're going to take your residual time, your off time, and you're going to commit your off time to your dream? Your dream will never succeed. Let me tell you a really super quick story, and I'm not telling you to do this right now, but let me tell you a super quick story. And this is something that I don't know if the public truly knows about, is that when I was working in 2008, I had a full-time job and I had a nonprofit organization. And my full-time job, I was making really good money. And I quit that to pursue matchmaking. So I had a little bit of money stashed in for that. And I completely ran through all of the money. My wife then took her 401k, and she liquidated her 401k, and she used that as, look at your eyes, like, what? She liquidated her 401k. Yeah. That's love. She liquidated her 401k, and she basically invested that in me. On top of that, I sold my car. A lot of people don't know. I sold my car. I actually still don't really have a car. I had a BMW. I sold my BMW. I stopped my insurance. We ran late months on our mortgage, stopped paying all kinds of bills. We ran into ridiculous debt, all out of my pursuit of the dream. Now, what's my point to this? My point is that when we have a dream, there is going to be numerous things that pull us back, that hold us back from pursuing that dream. If it's not financial, it's going to be friends and family telling you that you can't do it, or it's going to be yourself telling you in self-doubt. My point is this. My point is that if you want to give your dream a fair shot, you have to give it a fair shot. Giving it a fair shot means giving it your attention. It means allocating your resources. I don't know how you do that right now. I mean, this is something that we can talk about, but the point of the matter is that you can't pursue your dream in your off hours. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work, right? You have to pursue your dreams in your on hours. And I would love for us to dig deeper into this. This is a great topic. I feel for you because I know exactly where you are because I was in that exact spot. But going back to what we were talking about with Jay is when you step out on faith, you don't fail. It doesn't mean that you don't have debt when you step out on faith. It doesn't mean that you don't start owing, you know, lots of people when you step out on faith. But when you step out on faith, you will not fail. And once again, I'm not telling you to leave your job. What I am telling you to do is to know that if your plan is for your dream to succeed with you allocating off hours to it, it's not going to happen. And so that plan, that strategy has to change. Okay, thank you. And I hope to see you in Nashville. All right, we could line dance. We could cost. We will line dance in Nashville. No, we're going to do some like, you know, new electric slide type stuff. Just some, you know.
Oh yeah, they make up one of those every day.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thank you very much, Carson. And I'm gonna tell you what, y'all. We are at our time. Let's see. All right, real super quick. We've got Chelsea. Her mic should be working. We're gonna get Chelsea back because we got 4 minutes. Chelsea is coming right now. All right, we're gonna see if her mic is
working. Hey, sorry.
No. Are you, Chelsea, if your mic wasn't working, I was gonna have folks joke you if your mic wasn't working. But look, Chelsea.
I pulled out my heavy duty microphone.
Chelsea's got her Bobby Brown, My Prerogative headset. She got her Bobby Brown headset on. All right, we're not mad at that.
Gotta get the advice. My question for you is, I'm graduating from college from Badgerland, and I am applying to law school. And my biggest issue is separating myself from other candidates, because the things on paper for everybody, you know, they're going to be the same. We're all smart. We're all motivated. We all have good grades. We all like animals. We all volunteer. You know, we all have those things that separate us, and that's why we want to do what we do. So, yeah.
Great question. You know what, Chelsea? This is, I don't know if you know this, but there was a time that I worked for Kaplan Test Prep. And that's...
No, you
didn't. I worked for Kaplan Test Prep. I was the director at Kaplan Test Prep in Washington, D.C. for like a year and change. And that's all okay. We did was advise people, you know, on admissions. And the real quick question, or the real quick answer is this. What have you done with your experience that demonstrates leadership? That's the real question, right? Because ultimately that's what law schools want, is law schools don't necessarily want you for what you have done. They want you for what they believe you will do, if you know what I mean. Now, how do you demonstrate leadership? Right. Well, you demonstrate leadership by starting things and moving things, like starting things and organizing people and moving people towards a shared vision, goal, plan. So my quick advice, because we only have about a minute left, is that think about how you have demonstrated leadership. And if you haven't yet, it's not too late. Start something, right? Start multiple things and do those multiple things, or start, you know, one thing and do it well. But the whole bottom line in terms of admissions is, of course, they want great LSAT scores, right? You have to have that. Of course, they want great GPA. They want that. But they really want to see a demonstration of leadership. The other thing that I mentioned is that there's a lot of Nigel's like, Paul, have Chelsea hit me up for real. He has great advice. I think he went to Georgetown Law. I mean, there's a lot.
That's my top three. That's the
beauty of this right here. So hit up Nigel. I'm for real. Because who you know is everything. So hit up Nigel Costin, who was just on. Look at that shining light. She said, I graduated from AU. Everybody, light up the comments. If you went to law school, let Chelsea know. Let's definitely help her. Jay Smith is like, look at God, like right there. Nigel says, look. Yeah. Right there. I mean, let's make it happen. Like, let's make it happen. Carson went to law school as well. Yeah. Francesca Hoagie, I know Francesca. I think she went to law school as well. So Francesca definitely has go to Georgia. All right, boo to Francesca, because I went to Georgetown. So it's funny because
Michigan is also in my top three.
Right, University of Michigan. Look at that. No, for real. She went to University
it's
of Michigan.
It's also in my top
there
three.
There you go. Francesca. Okay, so here, Chelsea, contact Francesca, and then contact Nigel, and then let's make this happen, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, real quick, can you sing some My Prerogative Bobby Brown with the headset?
Of course I cannot, Paul. Really?
Come on, just a little bit. Give us this a little bit.
Of course not.
Oh, man. All right. I'd love to.
Someone said I stole this from McDonald's.
All right, it's all good. But I do like Frosties. So, all right. Okay, good night. Good night, Chelsea. See you. Okay, everybody.
Thank you.
Here's the deal. That is it. It's an hour. It's so quick. I'm sorry. It looks like we had a good time. Here's the deal. Here's what I want us to do real quick in terms of closing. A, every single person that was on here, Costin, Chelsea, Dawn, Jay, everybody, make sure that you send them support. Secondly, drop your Twitter handle in here so folks know what your Twitter handle is. Let's start following all of each other on Twitter. Let's do that. And then third, let me know what your thoughts were. You can hit me up on Twitter. Let's use hashtag Mentor Monday. I'll be on Twitter for a little while after this. You can hit me on Facebook, but hit me on Twitter. Let me know how tonight went. If you have suggestions, things that we could do to improve, let me know. Next time also, even though we had a crazy number of people, we had 92 people at our height. We still have 87 folks. So invite more people. Let's make this bigger, because just as we saw Chelsea at the end, connect with Francesca to go to University of Michigan Law, connect with Nigel to go to Georgetown Law. If we have a bigger audience, we can make more connections, more magic happen, more blessings. So long story short, everybody have a good night. Thank you very much for joining. God bless. Cheers.